Hi, you're listening to Saints Unscripted.
Each episode is available to view on YouTube, so be sure to check us out.
We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Enjoy the show.
I want the songs to be as good as possible. I want the content to be as good as possible because TikTok, Instagram, they've created these amazing ways to share information. Right. And I think the devil is going ham, for lack of a better way to put it. He is dominating the space. Yes. But there's a really cool counterattack that's happening. I just want to be a part of that counterattack.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Saints Unscripted. I'm your host, Caitlin.
And I'm Alex.
And we are here with Spencer Schmidt. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
We're so glad you're here. Schmidt, you may recognize the name. John Schmidt's son, who is also the piano guy's guy. And he is here to talk about just what he's been working on. Anyway, it's really, really cool. He's got some cool stuff out. So we're really glad you're here, Spencer.
Thanks. I appreciate it. So, yeah, go ahead.
You go ahead.
After you. Oh, no, you first. I couldn't think of it.
Well, I was just going to say, it's funny because I just released something on my socials about how I've been stymied on music for so long because a lot of people know it was really public, right? I had a sister who passed away, 2016, tragic hiking accident. And she was kind of the driving force behind my music, right?
Oh, really?
Because we were in a little duo together. It's taken me a long time, right? The better part of 7 years to kind of overcome, you know, kind of the trauma that came with that and really start doing this again. Because she was kind of the one who was always pushing me, always kind of like helping us do it as a group.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so now by myself, it's been a long time coming to get back into it.
Wow. Well, we're so glad you are. And I know she's cheering you on the other side. I'm like, hey, got this.
Yeah.
When did your interest in music initially start? I mean, you kind of grew up with that in your family.
Yeah.
But for you, when was kind of the starting point?
Yeah, so it's really funny because my dad taught us all piano lessons.
Oh, and he was your like actual piano teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Which I don't know. Like,
they
say
not to take lessons from your parents.
You know what?
About anything, but that could totally like.
Well, you know what? He's gonna be embarrassed of me when he sees this, but he batted 1 for 5. Like, I'm the only one that really. Well, actually, my little brother Johnny stuck with piano too. So two for five.
But honestly, that's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
The other three kind of petered out. So quick, funny aside, before I answer your question, in one of our houses, we had a little intercom. And so we'd be practicing, right? And he'd come on the intercom. That's a natural. So you could never practice piano.
That is awesome.
Without. So I think that was too much pressure for some of the siblings.
My God,
and he's not even
funny.
That intense. He's actually really easygoing and wonderful. But like, you know what I mean? He couldn't help himself.
Yeah, I know.
If he hears
like,
you doing it wrong.
Piano's his thing. So he's like,
oh man, I love
twitching
that.
Over in the other room. Like, oh, right now.
He's not even in the room. That's awesome.
Yeah, just a little intercom. It's just one of those family inside jokes. We'll make fun of it every once in a while. He's embarrassed about it now.
Oh, that is so funny.
But to answer your question, I was just chomping at the bit to want to start piano. Mm-hmm. But he had a rule that we couldn't start until we were 8.
Okay.
Right? I mean, technically we could go learn from somebody else, but what 6-7-year-old's going to go find another teacher?
Yeah. Was there a reason for that? Do you know?
Yeah.
Like the 8?
Mm-hmm. So his big thing is he had taught piano lessons for a really long time. And he had taught a lot of really young kids and just watched them burn out.
Oh,
so in his
okay.
experience, it actually came from like a wealth of experience. He found that like 8 for him, in his opinion, was kind of the magic age to start and not get this kind of like young kid burnout.
Noted.
Oh, interesting.
I think I started when I was like 6 and I remember a little burnout.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So did you learn other instruments along with that, or was it the main thing was piano?
So the main thing was piano, and I just dove into it. I remember, like, he it was super funny because I think he was super afraid of me being burned out. And I think, like most dads, he really wanted me to love it, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we really want our kids to love what we love. And so I think he was trying, kind of like a lot of parents do, especially on their first and when they're young, trying to kind of control and make sure that I'm doing things the way that, you know, he wants them to be done. But anyways, long story short, I was asking him, I really want to learn Waterfall, right? Because, you know, it had already, like, the sheet music had already been out and a lot of people already knew it. And I remember that he said, okay, well, if you can play this one page, then we can jump into that song, right? Because it was way past kind of where we were.
Oh, okay.
And I remember it was a Sunday and he had meetings for his calling. And I remember I woke up early that morning and I practiced it all day. And at the end of the day, I played it for him and I could play the page. And that's kind of a core memory for me. And so I dove into Mozart. I dove into all of me. I dove into all my other dad's songs and just just loved the piano. I was one of those little kids that, you know, could yeah. play the harder songs. And it was kind of a fun party trick. And that's when I learned how to love to perform and to play. Yeah.
That's awesome. And did you know that once you started getting into music and you wanted to start producing your own music, did you know it was going to be more religious, or were you just wanting to just any kind of music, or did you even know?
So yeah, I'll give the short breakdown of the chronology of my musical history. Okay. So age 13, I pick up the electric guitar. Green Day was a huge inspiration. Yes. Randomly learned a bunch of Green Day songs, fell in love with Blink-182, fell in love with that whole genre.
Yeah, yes.
Started a band. And if you go to my Spotify, I have a couple songs in that genre.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love it.
And I remember at the time thinking, oh, wow, maybe we'll make it as a band. And then in our heyday was that genre's fall off. I don't know if you guys remember it, but it just disappeared.
Was that 11?
11.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was in high school. Yeah. So I remember. Yeah.
Also, it was just gone.
Yes.
Right? It was just dead.
And then it was like dance party music.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Well, and then also that's kind of was the rise of and they came before, but that was I feel John Mayer, Jack Johnson, yes. Several of those started to get huge. And so it's funny, I literally just followed the genre of whatever I loved. So then I went to more the John Mayer, Jack Johnson, and then I went on my mission, and I remember I came back from my mission, and my sister was okay, I have 3 playlists for you. She wrote me on my mission. She said, I need you to prepare mentally, spiritually, emotionally for this new genre that's kind of emerged while you're gone. And she's like, you ready for this? She's like, and it's funny because now people use this word all the time and it's such a loose definition, but indie is what she called it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah. I remember she was showing me Of Monsters and Men, and she was showing me a lot of names that no one knows, right? Like Blood by the Middle East. Yeah, I know, right?
A lot of people don't know.
Well, Bon Iver was a huge one in that world.
Okay,
Bon Iver's, how some people know him. Skinny Love is one of his hits. That genre just kind of became sacred to our family.
Really?
Yeah, because she would always show us new songs. She'd be like, let's get in the car. And she'd have a new CD ready. And we would just love it. And so especially with her passing, you know what I mean? It was that genre just became really special to us.
Because it was what she loved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just felt, and that's what we made. We have a couple songs in that genre. Yeah, and then I kind of fell off, in 2016. And then in 2019, to answer your question, right? So I had to take you through some chronology.
No, you're all good.
I was dating somebody at the time, and she sent me a song by Hillsong United. And it was called So Will I. And it floored me. I couldn't believe it. Because I would listen to some of that on my mission, and I'd be like, okay, this is cool, you know? Uh-huh. It's a little bit more energy than the hymns. But anyways, long story short, it just floored me. It touched me almost deeper than any song ever had. Really? And I couldn't believe it. I remember between me and God, because I was still trying to get back into music, I remember feeling specifically from him, this is the kind of music that I want you to start making now.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's going to be in kind of that more indie genre
that
I
style,
like. Yeah.
Which is cool, because I don't know, I feel like sometimes with Christian music, we don't have a lot of variety, I guess.
It's true. It's Christian rock, right?
I think it's becoming more now, because I think people are starting to realize, Christian music is awesome,
right?
And really peaceful and helps us come closer to God. So, mm-hmm. Are you fulfilling that band dream?
Yeah, so I use the name Schmidt. Because, I wanted to, get as close to using kind of my dad's momentum that I could.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it kind of leaves it open-ended because sometimes my dad will collab with me on songs. But, and then I have a little brother who, the one that I said, is also pretty good at piano. He's a really talented musician. So I just wanted to leave it open for the family.
Yeah.
So that's why I called it Schmidt, so that just in case whatever family, dad, brother mm-hmm. wants to kind of come in and out, it can leave it kind of open-ended.
Yeah. So is your music mostly for an LDS audience, or is it just for any kind of Christian audience, or
little bit of both, right? So I kind of have a number of goals with my music, and this is probably something that I'll learn. Oh man, hey, you gotta get a little bit more focused on what you're doing, but we'll see. Right now, I'm kind of just casting a wide net and then mm-hmm. seeing which direction I want to go.
Yeah.
So in regards to an LDS specific audience. Yes, I have a very, very firm focus on an LDS-specific audience. And the way that I'm doing that is I'm taking what I think are the best LDS songs ever written.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to kind of put them into more of that indie, folk, Christian worship format. right? Cool. So it's kind of like these two worlds can kind of come together.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Oh, that's awesome.
And so that people may, oh my gosh, like I love this song. And they're like, oh my gosh, like I love this this interpretation of this song. You know what I mean? Like, what else does he do? And then they go and they listen to a song that's totally different, you know? Mm-hmm. And be like, oh, maybe I like that, you know? And because for me, I really was yearning for more of this music in the LDS community. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny. I just want to, a quick aside, no matter what community you're in, whether it's an LDS community, whether it's a non-religious community, whether it's an evangelical Christian community, there's always going to be like cultural and like systematic bureaucratic things that I think will frustrate us from time to time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
And I think that like a lot of times people like to do, including myself, like to just maybe sit back and complain instead of like trying to maybe do something about it, right?
Right.
And that was the big thought that I had when I was in prayer about this, is I was like, okay, I want there to be more of this kind of music in our community. And literally the Lord was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, here you go.
Yeah.
Go do it.
Go do
love
it.
Love it.
And it was so awesome. You know what I mean? Because that's the thing, like as we grow in the Lord, I just think it's funny to just kind of expect everybody else to do it. So this is kind of what I felt. I felt like there are people that are yearning for this kind of music. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the hole that I'm trying to fill. You know,
totally.
Where do you see your career kind of going with this?
Yeah. So this is kind of a random, I think it's good for context. So I actually own a distribution business with my brother and my best friend. We've been doing it for 2 years. Fingers crossed, it's going well.
Yes. Yeah,
2 years is kind of a big mark to cross.
That is.
So I call this like a serious side hustle. That's kind of what I call it, right? Another thing is it's a labor of love. If you're trying to like make it big in the music world, you don't go into Christian music. And then you don't go into like this obscure niche that like...
That's true. That's
you know what
true.
I'm saying? Like, because that's the thing. It's tough. Like I studied finance at BYU. Like I am commercially minded. And so I realized that this is a labor of love. Like it really is. And there's been an element of surrender and resistance in that that's taken me a long time to be in this spot, right? Because a lot of times people will come to my dad and they'll say, how did you follow your dreams when everyone was pushing against you? And you know that he gets that question all the time. And his answer is such a buzzkill. He says, we didn't follow our dreams. We really felt like we sought the will of God. He said there were many times where we wanted to not do music, but then God told us to keep doing it. And so that's the big thing that he says is he feels that a lot of creatives are kind of like imposing their will upon God, right? As opposed to like trying to surrender and see what God wants for them. And that's all of us. Like I'm not calling out creatives. that's a lifetime struggle. And I'm not saying that I'm like totally in line either, but that's what I'm saying is with this, like I'm trying to, I feel like he's asked me to do it. And so I'm just going to do it. And as big as he wants it to get is as big as I'm okay with it getting. So I got a message from somebody who I'll keep anonymous, and referring to the When I'm Baptized song. They said, hey, I just want to let you know, I've been thinking about leaving the church, and this song was a really big strength for me, and I'm going to stay.
Wow.
And so for me, I was like, okay, well, the career, the side hustle is successful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't if it brings one person.
Yeah. And I know that's super cliche. So I actually have like 6 messages, and it's called like Why I Do Music, you know, or you can say like payment, like this is why I'm doing it.
Wow.
So just as big as it gets. But that being said, like I feel like the Lord loves, and this is something that President Nelson does so well, like he loves effort. He loves like excellence. You look at the church's Mormon messages, they're so well done. So I'm going to try and do it as like well as I can. I want the songs to be as good as possible. I want the content to be as good as possible. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, TikTok, Instagram, right? These like, they've created these amazing ways to share information. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think they're the most powerful ways of all time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
And I think the devil is going ham, for lack of a better way to put it. He is dominating the space.
Yes.
But there's a really cool counterattack that's happening. You know, especially like on TikTok, there's a massive Christian community that's just flourishing right now. Mm-hmm. I'm in a band called The King Will Come, and our King Will Come stuff is just exploding right now.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Cool.
But anyways, long story short, like I just want to be a part of that counterattack. You know,
because
everyone's on TikTok and Instagram. We all do our best to. I listened to a conference talk the other day that said limit or eliminate your social media use. So we're all doing our best to do that.
I know, yep. And it's like you gotta limit it, but you also gotta be in it and like fight in it. And it's like, where do you find the balance?
It's so true.
That is the constant struggle for me. So totally. I get it. Tough.
Anyway, so long answer to short question, but like I just want to be a part of that counterattack. And it's so cool that it's happening, you know, because we always, I think a lot of us just assumed that TikTok and Instagram were lost. It was like lost battleground. The devil had won.
Right.
You know, yeah. But it's like, no, like the Savior's making a counterattack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
My question was going to be, when you're writing a song, where exactly does your inspiration come from? Would you say maybe you rely on the Spirit, or does it differ every song? Like how does that work for you? What's the process? Mm.
So for me, like, so my creative process, I'll just give a super like 10,000 foot view of it, is I just, and I think a lot of musicians can relate with this, but all of a sudden, like, I'll just be playing on the guitar, and the next thing I know, I'm like, oh, this is original, you know, this is like a riff, and so I'll record it, right, or piano, I'll record it, and I call those riffs, I don't know if that's the best word to use, and then I'll kind of put them in a vault, and I'll rank them on how good they are. The reason why I do that is because then I like, don't talk myself out of recording it, so sometimes I'll put like bad riff, if it wasn't even that cool, but that way I don't talk myself out of like recording it, documenting it, working on it,
mm-hmm.
Or a melody will come into my head, right, mm-hmm. And so I'll just sing the melody, and then I'll put like, you know, solid melody, decent melody, like okay melody, and so that's, it's kind of nice when I'm going to pull from it. I can, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Or if I'm like in a writer's retreat, which sometimes we'll do with the band, it's super nice to go into those and say, okay, let's look at some of these ideas, right?
Oh, cool.
And then I can go and I can pull, so then when a lyric inspiration comes to me, which a lot of times is from the Spirit, then I can go into my vault and say, okay, what's kind of fitting these lyrics the best? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like, what's not fitting these lyrics at all, right? Because sometimes I like to write what are called like kind of happy, sad songs, where the lyrics are sad, but the music's happy. So it's kind of this cool blend. And sometimes it's beautiful when there's kind of like that dissonance between the lyrics and the vibe of the song, you know, in either way. But so to answer your second, the other part of that question, the lyrics have been really sacred, and it's been a confirmation that this was like a calling from God, because the way that some of them have been received have been totally by the grace of God. Like, I'm not even involved like almost at all. So I'll just share one specific example.
Sure.
But I was writing a cover of When I'm Baptized, the one that
I love. It's, you need to, if you have not heard that song, look it up, because it's good.
But guys, this is one of those stories you hear like in like the Liahona or in a conference talk, you know, and everyone's like, oh, okay. So I'm asleep, totally asleep. And I wake up with a third verse to that song. And it goes, and if it's been a long time since I have been baptized, and maybe I'm discouraged by how I've lived my life, I won't forget the price you paid to purchase me with blood. The moment that I hit my knees, your grace flows like a flood. And wow. It was like a download from heaven. I just wrote it down. So that's where I was like,
that's incredible.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so this is like confirmation that like this is of God, you know, that he is asking me to do this, because those lyrics were just given, you know.
Yeah.
And I've had a couple, I won't, you know, go through all the other ones, but there's a couple others like that have just been given. Well, I have a song that's called Hold Me Close, Never Not Close.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of really going through a tough time, and I wrote these really honestly kind of depressing lyrics if you go and read them. And then all of a sudden I wrote like a melody for a bridge, and God responds to my struggle in that song. And it's like, it's like, but it was like, it was his response in like comforting me in the struggle that was the song, but it ended up being the lyrics for like the bridge and the final chorus. And so it's been this epic experience, honestly. I see so much, like, I think Revelations talk about how there's only one worthy, there's only one righteous, you know, referring to Christ. And I really feel that during this journey. Like, the reason why 3 Nephi 18 talks about, you know, that famous scripture, you know, let your light so shine before men. Sometimes that would, like, discourage me, because I'd be like, man, I don't feel like my light is where it needs to be to go shine it, you know? 3 Nephi 18 is slightly different than the Gospels. Christ clarifies at the end. He says, yeah, I'm the light which you should hold up. And so for me, that gives me a lot of comfort in this journey,
mm-hmm.
to remember that I'm not holding myself up because I'm going to let people down, but that I get to hold up the Savior as the light. And that just takes a lot of pressure off of the journey.
Wow. That is so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Like, sometimes I feel like that. Like, I'm just not good enough. Like, that my light isn't bright enough, you know, sometimes we feel that way,
yeah.
and but it's not our light, it's Christ's light. So where can we find you? You're on Spotify. You're the band is Schmidt, right?
Yeah, the band is Schmidt.
Because we want to send our viewers to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they
for sure.
They need to find your music.
So it's funny. I just got done with the discussion with my brother about this. So my biggest platform is Instagram, and it's Spenny Schmidt. Which is, I gotta figure this out. Yeah, it's because then I put in my
rebrand.
Bio that, you know, my artist name is Schmidt. So I'm probably gonna have to start an artist. I just started a TikTok that's called Schmidt Music.
You know, okay.
And I have a Schmidt music page on Facebook. But anyways,
we'll link all that.
Schmidt, too. Yeah, Schmidt on Spotify.
Okay. Right on.
But the best two places are TikTok, which is Schmidt Music, and then Instagram is the most established platform by far, and that's Spenny Schmidt.
Spenny.
I know, Spenny. I gotta figure this
it.
All out.
That's great.
But yeah. So yeah, I have three official releases. Some of them are like different versions of the three releases. One thing really cool that I want to announce is I'm releasing a new song called All I Need. I'm really excited. I think it's
awesome.
The best song that I've ever done. I'm hoping. I think of that.
Oh, awesome.
And the reason why I wrote it is because it's going to be what's hopefully either a collaborative post with the Piano Guys. So it's going to be...
Oh, cool. Sweet.
Yeah, so I just kind of want to put a plug in that. We're filming the reel on Saturday. I just sent it off to be mastered. Oh. So this is in the next week or two. So watch for that.
Oh, we're so looking excited. We're looking for that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that one. Yeah, so watch for that one to come out.
Awesome. Sweet. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for watching. Love you all. Leave a comment, like, subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Thanks for listening.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube.
And you can message us on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. Bye.